Everybody knew what the right thing to do was about Brexit. And I don't care whether you were in a small group, whether you were on Facebook, you were in the pub or church or wherever it was, people had an opinion about Brexit. And it was the right one because they knew stuff that other people did not know. We were all suddenly experts on Brexit, either for or against. Now that just seems like, oh, take me back to those times. When are we going to have those kind of debates rather than the constant information that's coming at us now? Because now it seems everybody's suddenly become an expert in coronavirus and in how to mitigate against the spread of infections around the world. We've all become medical experts. We've all become biologists. We've all become sociologists. We all have an idea now. And this information is coming at us in all sorts of directions, confusing us in all sorts. I wonder whether, when you think about Corona, you're thinking of the beer. And when you, until recently, when you thought Corona, you thought a bottle of beer. Maybe you're an age where actually it wasn't a bottle of beer, it was a bottle of pop. And I'm going to say you got 10 pence to take the bottle back. But if you're going to start telling me that you get a halfpenny to take the bottle back, then you're really old. In fact, you're going to be, we've got a lot, yeah, okay, don't go there. It may be now that we're talking about the COVID-19 that actually you hear those words and you're thinking, my goodness, that's a Star Trek planet, or there's a Star Trek kind of theme going on over here. And then as for hand washing, well, some of you, well, you just thought hand washing was for women or for girls. You didn't really understand that it was for blokes too. Yesterday, I went to speak at a men's breakfast, and it was for blokes across the wider North Birmingham, Sutton Coldfield area. And they put their program together about 14 months ago. Once a month they meet, and they sent me this program for the, 2020, and it was put together months and months ago. And they said, would I come and speak on having clean hands? It's not the most exciting of topics, so I pushed back. And I said, really, to be honest, because they'd asked me originally, what did I want to speak about? And I came up with something that I thought was really quite apt about the workplace and about careers and vocation and that kind of stuff. And they came back saying, no, we want to speak about clean hands. Really? Push back? No, we'd like you to speak about clean hands. Who knew? So yesterday, I'm talking to a room full of blokes about the importance of having clean hands. Specifically blokes, 50 of them, and now they're all busy washing their hands constantly. And it can feel, at the moment, a bit almost like apocalyptic, if I can say the word right. We've had floods, we've had storms, we've had Brexit, we've had the rise of nationalism, we've had all sorts of things going on, and now suddenly, wallop, where did this come from? We've got coronavirus going on too. And that can leave our heads spinning a little bit. And it's important that we remind ourselves that actually an awful lot has not changed in the last few days. Our news headlines have changed. They're changing by the hour. But actually the bigger story has not changed. That all that we see around us is because something bigger, something more powerful, something more beautiful than us, wow, existed and caused matter to be created. The Lord of all creation. He was, he is, he still will be the Lord of all creation. So our reading from Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. We're running a series at the moment called Whose Earth? And we were thinking particularly last week, whose earth? God's earth, the Lord of all creation. It's important that we keep things in perspective. We've got to hear about all sorts of important medical updates and government advice on health protection and all that side of things. Really important, and we're going to be doing all of that. But we also need to be reminding ourselves that actually climate change has been causing all sorts of damage and health problems and shortening lives across the globe for decades. But actually, we've managed as a global community to marshal an awful lot of energy in a very short space of time around coronavirus. And that's right that we do so. But we haven't managed to garnish the same amount of energy the same resilience when it comes to climate change. We've still left that one hanging there, even though the effects of climate change are utterly devastating. Next Sunday, we'll talk a little bit more about that, how that works out practically. We've got a partnership with BMS mission workers in Chad. Chad is the world's most vulnerable country for climate change. There is more negative impact in the country of Chad than on any other country in the world because of climate change. Wow. So we need to be thinking about climate change in that context too. And we need to be reminding ourselves that God is the Lord of all creation. He is, if you like, the landlord. So when you, if you're in rented accommodation, you have a landlord. You don't own the property. It's the landlord that owns the property. They own it, and they give you, as the tenant, the responsibility for looking after that property. It's not your property. It's the landlord's property. But whilst that landlord gives you responsibility, you can enjoy the benefits of living in that rented property. And it's as if God, Creator God, is the landlord, the Lord of all land, the Lord of all creation. He is the one that owns all of creation, but he has given us, you and I, responsibility as stewards to be good tenants of all that he has created. We are the responsible tenants. He is the landlord. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? I wonder if you feel like you should be right there with God, because you and God are like this. Or whether you feel, actually, I'm not sure what God thinks about me. I'm not sure whether my life lives up to the expectations that God would have. Maybe my prayer life isn't all it could be. Maybe the things that I watch aren't the things that are most edifying. Maybe I don't do the things that I see Jesus doing quite so much. Maybe you've got questions, doubts, concerns that would trouble you. And you wonder, should I be with God? What would God think about me? Well, we're going to hear that he invites you in. Not because of how good you are, but by how good he is, his grace and his mercy. The danger, of course, is that when we ask that question, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, we not only think about that for ourselves, but we start to look at other people and we start to think, well, maybe they don't deserve to be with God. Maybe they aren't quite up to the mark. So maybe they should be excluded. When all the time we're reminded that he is the Lord of all creation and all who live in it. It's all. It's not just some. It's not just us. It is all. It's never them and us. It is always all with God. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. And so we now know more than ever the importance of hand washing. If I could invest now in hand cream as businesses, I'm sure we'd make a lot of money, because not only now are we finding that everybody's dashing to buy the soap and the hand gels, but actually the more we are relentlessly washing our hands, the more that actually the hands start to chafe a little bit and feel tender and sore, so we're going to the hand cream too. The importance of hand washing cannot be underestimated. And we keep doing that here. And we use the hand gels, the sanitizers. But please don't just rely on sanitizers. They only go so far. It's really soft soap that is going to be the thing that helps us. Use that more than anything else. But here the reminder is that good hygiene and faithful ritual alone is not enough. Because in this psalm, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, it wasn't just the fact that the physical hands were clean, because some people would have this idea that as long as I maintain the rituals and the traditions and the formalities of things, that's all that matters. But here the psalmist says, no, it goes way deeper than that. It goes beyond simply the skin surface. It goes into the inner life, into the heart. Remember that Pontius Pilate washed his hands. So washing hands physically is good. Don't get me wrong. Please, let's keep washing our hands. We all, you know, it turns out that the OCD lot were right after all. We need that. Constantly be washing our hands. But actually physical washing goes so far. But actually what we go beyond is also the inner life too. And so here we want to make sure, as the psalmist is saying, that the psalmist is saying, don't have blood on your hands. You think, well, how can I have blood on my hands? Well, in this day and age, we might not have the physical blood of others, but we might have the blood on our hands of the government that we've elected into power, who's then conducted various foreign policies that have led to bloodshed, lives taken. And we put them in that position, and we voted for them, and we voted for those policies that led to war, which led to lives being lost. Sometimes it might be through our commercial spending, how we buy things. And the shirts might be so cheap, and it looks so nice, but actually there's a cost to that shirt beyond simply the price tag on the back. The reason why it's so cheap is maybe because there's a human cost that has gone in that we don't see, that's led to detrimental living in other parts of the world. Maybe it's to do with our pension investments. And we say, well, we all need pensions and we all need investments. Absolutely true. But actually, do we know what our pension policies, our funds are being invested in? Are they funds that are ethical and are bringing life around the world? Or are they ones that actually we've ended up having virtual blood on our hands? The one who has clean hands. But more than that, a pure heart, because it goes deeper, beyond the physical and the skin surface, into the inner life. And we find with when it comes to being a Christ follower, it's not about do we attend a 10:30 service or a 6:30 evening service. It becomes, am I a follower of Christ Jesus? Am I doing what he does? Am I living the authentic life that Christ modeled for me? In the late 200s, there was an awful lot of persecution going on. Christians were getting a really rough time. They were getting persecuted. They were getting put into really barbaric situations for their faith. And if they didn't recant, if they didn't deny their faith, then they were tortured, put to death. Others were just excluded. And without a social welfare system, that was a really serious issue. And there were Christians, people becoming Christ followers. They weren't becoming Christ followers because actually that led to a better way of living. They were becoming Christ followers because they were utterly compelled by what they saw in Jesus, despite the cost. And particularly in North Africa, where the Christian church had spread out, and it was going across North Africa too, and the Roman Empire had spread out across North Africa as well. Christians were being persecuted. But then in the late 200s, a plague developed, and it started to spread across the Roman Empire, including into North Africa. And as many people were leaving North Africa to get away from the effects of the plague, the Christians stayed behind. And they stayed behind to love and care for those that had succumbed to the plague. They looked after them. They cared for them. They fed them. They welcomed them in with hospitality. Many of those Christians also contracted that same disease. Some of them died too. But the witness that they gave was phenomenal. Later on, the Roman Empire switched from persecuting Christians to promoting Christians. The witness that those Christians had given during that time made a huge impact. And we're at a point where we're saying, actually, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ today? Is it just that I am based around, I attend a service, or actually am I living authentically the Christian life that he has for us? We know that to be a follower of Christ is to love God and love others as we love ourselves. What does that mean? How do we live generously in the way that Christ was outrageously generous in his living? And we've seen the pictures, and you may be been down the supermarkets and been stunned by the empty shelves around the nappy section or the hand gel section or even just the basic bars of soap section. How dumb is that? I understand the fear. I understand the panic and the sense that I need to protect my family or I need to protect my household or myself. But actually, the best way I can protect my household is by making sure that all of you have got soap. Because if I've got all the soap and you haven't got any soap, then my hands might be clean. But actually, yours aren't, and theirs aren't. And so the infection spreads. and we begin to see the physical reality and the physical consequences of human fear and even of selfishness. The challenge is to break that cycle and say that we as Christ followers are caught up in a bigger story. We will not live by fear, but by love. We are driven by His love, the love of God and the love of others. And that might mean being generous to our neighbours, looking out for our neighbours, being compassionate, not looking out for ourselves. Some of the advice that may change as time goes on. Even this morning, there was talk of what might be coming as a way of for isolation for those of a certain age. And we need to be mindful of that, but at the same time recognizing that actually loneliness and isolation is itself a killer. It has a physical adverse effect on human living. And so we as a church have to find a way to continue to live this Christian life. Not based around a Sunday service necessarily, but by being community. Here, the psalmist says, "Who can ascend the mount of the Lord? Those who have a clean hands, pure heart, who don't succumb to false gods." In other words, they don't follow superstitions or rituals, but the authentic faith. There's an awful lot of nonsense going around the internet at the moment. Remedies about what you should do. Things that you should take. Fears about what may or may not happen. Don't succumb to the false rumours, the false gods. Keep plugging back into the authentic and checking your facts before passing things on. Okay, and I want to say one final thing. We're going to face a real challenge over the next few weeks. And it's a good one. The good one is this. How do we continue to be an authentic Christian community, even if we can't carry on doing some of the things that we've always done? How do we connect well with people? How do we continue to gather together, but in a way that's safe? How do we continue to support one another, bless one another, pray for one another, care for one another, practice hospitality for one another? How do we do all that and keep going? There's some practical things that we can do. One is that Martin mentioned earlier on. If we haven't already got your mobile number or your email address, we would really like it. Not because we want to bombard you with stuff, but because we want to find a way to keep in touch with people. Because if people find that they are required to isolate, that doesn't mean to say that church stops. Church does not stop. Church is not a building and is not an activity that you attend. It is a Christian spiritual community that you belong to. And that carries on whether you are isolating at home. And I'm going to talk now to those people who are listening to this via the download, who have themselves withdrawn because they're in isolation. You too, and I'm looking right at you right now, you are part of our Christian community. You are part of us. And even though you are isolating right now, you are loved. And the love of Christ goes out to you. You are not forgotten, and we will find ways to connect with you and you with us. We need your encouragement, we need your prayers, and we need your practical support too. So we need to find ways to do that. It may be that actually sometimes when there's a challenge on, actually that leads to innovation. And we may find that actually there are things that we look back on in time to come that have actually helped us discover more about what it means to be authentic Christian community. We may have to create more multiple services to create smaller units. We may have to operate in different ways. It may be that we have to have some of our meetings outdoors. It may be safer to meet outdoors rather than indoors. If we've got care homes, it may be that we can go meet in a car park and we can bless a care home from a car park and invite people to take part in a service, even though that they might be inside the building and we on the outside. We may have to think a little differently. That's okay. That's okay. Because we're all the time saying we are Christ followers. We are here to live and continue to our mission and ministry to serve all, irrespective of whether our Sunday morning service or our evening service continues. So we will find ways to follow Christ. Who may ascend the mount of the Lord? Those with a clean hands and a pure heart. And I look out on people and I see, wow, clean hands, well, I'm trusting that. But I see pure heart. Continue to love one another. Continue to serve one another. Continue to care for one another. And if you it means you have to use the phone more, if you have to text more, go and have a conversation with people out on the doorstep, not going in. Let's find ways to connect well with people. All right. Let's just take a moment of quiet and we'll pray.